Thank you so much, young people. Yes, give them a hand. That was excellent. Excellent. Very well done. Hymn Histories, and it's part of our church ed, church ministries, church prep, ministry prep. There we go. And appreciate these young people working on that and doing that. Our Preacher Boys class, we got together and wrote a sermon for the teen meeting tonight. And so that was a blessing. And ministry prep, pray about that in our school. And the Lord will use it here in our church in many ways. And I know He will. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and verse 6. Thank you so much. Many good comments about the themes for the year. And the theme, of course, for such a time as this, and for November, a time for Thanksgiving. And it's been good. It's been a good month, really, with Thanksgiving and all the testimonies. Wednesday night's been such a blessing. Last Wednesday night, a lady and her son, after hearing, we had several testimonies, quite a long testimony time, and then about a 15, 20-minute message, lady and her son came and got saved. Lady in tears, and it was just such a blessing to watch that and to see how God used, I think God used the testimony time. It's the goodness of God that can lead to repentance. We always, you know, oh, I got to preach about hell and all that. Well, that'll get people saved too, but just hearing all the good things, I think God used. And so anyway, we've already looked at the thanks of Thanksgiving, testimonies of Thanksgiving, tributes of Thanksgiving, the thanklessness of Thanksgiving, the thinking of Thanksgiving, and then tonight I want to talk to you about the temptation of Thanksgiving, the temptation, of Thanksgiving. Deuteronomy 8:6, therefore thou shalt keep thy command, the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, and this is the temptation, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. The temptation of Thanksgiving. Father, I pray you'll bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for all the good music and, Lord, just everything, the good spirit that we've had as we are thankful, as we praise you. And you said that you inhabit the praises of Israel, and I can't help but think that you're inhabiting the praises of Berean tonight and throughout this time as we've been praising your name. And I pray that you will work in our hearts now through thy word and speak to us. And help us to beware, as you said in your word, help us to beware of the temptation of Thanksgiving. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We've seen a lot of things this month, and tonight is really just a little bit different. Verse 10, it says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless. So when you've eaten and are full, when you receive that answer to prayer, when God blesses you, when he does that thing maybe you've been praying for months, years, weeks, when you receive that, when thou hast eaten and art full, he says, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. Thou shalt thank the Lord thy God. Thou shalt praise the Lord. Thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And that is so obvious, should be obvious to us tonight. When you receive that blessing, thank him. When he does that thing for you, thank him, bless him, praise him for what he did. But then right after that, immediately, verse 11, it starts off with the word beware. Beware. And where there's a beware, it's something that ought to get our attention. Because, I mean, come on, things are looking good here. I mean, they've been through the wilderness, and now God's going to bring them into the good land, and everything's going to be great. And when this happens, so it is going to happen, and when you're full, and when you've eaten, and all these good things, well, then he says, you can bless the Lord, but he says, beware. Beware. Why? Don't lose focus. Don't take your eyes off of him. Because what happens, it happens so often. It's the child before Christmas. Well, about now, you know. The child that, boy, they're sweet and loving. And about the time you say, by the way, Poindexter, what is it you want for Christmas this year? Or go ahead and write some things down on a list. And all of a sudden, ding, you know. Or maybe they've been watching and Christmas commercials are starting to come. Or maybe they looked up at the lights and realize those really weren't drone hideouts. You know, and they're starting to think, oh, you know, it's beginning to look a lot like. And all of a sudden, they're sweet. All of a sudden, they're so loving. Daddy, what can I do? Mommy, how can I help? You know, what is it? What is it that you need today? Oh, you are the best dad in all the world. Mom, you're the best mom in all the world. And I mean, now for weeks, it's going to be just like that. You know, for weeks, do you need me to wash dishes? Do you need me to dust? Do you need this done? Dad, can I do? Do you want your shoes shined? I mean, you know, oh, it's going to be amazing for weeks. And then Christmas comes and they get that thing, whatever it was. You know, that toy, that electronic doodad, whatever it is, you know. And it happens at every home, different times. Everybody has seen it. Everybody knows. All of a sudden, in order to play with the gift, we ignore the giver. And it happens all the time. And that child who was paying so much, oh, how can I help you, Dad? Oh, Mom, what can I do? Oh, you know, you're the greatest and I love you. All of a sudden now, that thing has become the focus. Beware, beware, because all of a sudden now we've lost focus like we had before. The thing received has all the attention, and the giver doesn't have the attention. You see, that's what happened with Israel. They were slaves. They were in bondage to the Egyptians, and they finally got right with God and started praying and begging God to deliver them, and so they loved God and praised God, and God delivers them. But it wasn't long before they forgot about God. It wasn't long before, and it's amazing. As not long after the Red Sea's parted and the children of Israel are free from Egypt, it's not long, and they're griping and complaining. And they focused on the freedom, and they ignored the one who freed them. You know, in the United States of America, the same thing has happened. You know, we will hear stories about the pilgrims. We'll hear about people who came to the United States, to this land, and wanted to worship God. And they came and they worshiped God. And they thanked God. And they praised God. And they loved God. Now, not everybody, I understand that, but so many did. And people could sing for many years the song, God Bless America, and sing it and mean it, and tears flow down their cheeks as they sang. And God did bless America. And over, God blessed America. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And God blessed. And the people, though they enjoyed the blessing so much, they ignored the blesser. And the Christian gets focused on God for an answer. the Christian gets focused on God for some request, for some need, some desire of their heart. And they get focused on God and they pray and they spend more time with God and they walk with God. And throughout the day, they're reminded of that thing. They're reminded of that prayer. They're reminded of that need, that desire. And they get focused on God for that period of time. And then all of a sudden, God gives them that answer. And just like that child, they focus on the answer instead of God. And that's why God says, beware. Beware. I want to show you five things in this passage. Number one, the problem brings us close. The problem brings us close. Verse 2, it says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Well, they were in a wilderness, weren't they? And God led them there. Why did he do it? It says here, it says to humble thee. And certainly it was a humbling thing there in the wilderness. In verse 3, it says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. God allowed them to hunger in the wilderness. God allowed them to be humbled in the wilderness, to realize there was nothing they could do, and he allowed that to happen so they would get close to him so that he would provide for them. God allowed it because the problem brings us close. Certainly, God has allowed things in our lives to get us closer to him. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. But sad to say, often it takes that problem to get us to draw nigh to him. And the children of Israel were humbled, the Bible says, and they got close to God. He allowed them to hunger in the wilderness. He said that he did it to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, to prove them, to know, will they trust and obey? By the way, beautiful song and a very doctrinal song, because truth of the matter is, we don't obey unless we trust. And if we're not obeying, we probably aren't trusting. Right. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. Trust him. And if you trust him, the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots won't bother you. If you love me, keep my commandments. But he wanted to know what's in your heart. And he wanted him to get close. And so verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and fear him. They get close and they trust him and they walk with him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And if you're walking with Jesus, you agree with Jesus. You have no problem with what he says. And they get close and they trust him. And by the way, even like it says in verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And even in a chastening problem, understand, it made them closer to him. By the way, the right kind of chastening will draw your children closer to you. I'm not talking about yelling and screaming at them. I'm not talking about smacking them upside the head. I'm talking about the right kind of discipline and chastening. Discipline is discipleship. It is teaching. And the right kind of discipline, it will draw them close. And when the Lord chastens us, it should draw us close to him. Because it is him saying, I love you. I love you. And even with chastening, the problem, whatever the problem, whatever's going on, it's drawing us closer to him. And it brings us close. And the valleys and the problems and the trials and the needs, they bring us close because the problem brings us close. Number two, the provision brings us comfort. And we love it, don't we? We love it. I mean, when God provides. What's he say? Verse 3, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. But hey, he only allowed it some because then he fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And God did a new thing. They didn't know. They didn't understand. How can this be? And God miraculously provided, and water from the rock, it says over on verse 15. You know, miraculously, God provided. Why? Because the provision brings us comfort. Thy raiment, verse 4, waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Amazing, amazing. God miraculously took care of the people. And water from the rock, as was said in verse 15. And then he told him that in the future, he said, I'll bring you into a good land, verse 7. A land of brooks, of water, fountains, depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, olive oil, pomegranates, honey, all of that. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack. And he goes on. And wow. The provision brings comfort. Isn't it wonderful when God provides that answer? Isn't it wonderful when God gives that thing, that blessing, that thing you prayed about for a long time, that thing that is nearest to your heart, that thing that you weren't even thinking of, but there it is, and God did it, and you say, wow, this is awesome. And all of a sudden, you know, you stop, and as verse 10 says, you thank God, you bless the Lord for the good land which he's given thee. And you look back and you say, wow, God provided manna from heaven and water from a rock, and our clothes didn't grow old on us, and all these things that God provided for us, and we thank him for all the good given and all the good that he's going to give. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. You know, count your many blessings. See what he's done. And what a joy it is when God provides. You know, we've had so many testimonies. It's been exciting. And I think of how a testimony that was a bad situation with Don and Rob in a car wreck. And I just heard about it yesterday in the afternoon, I believe, and a bad wreck. And yet, in the midst of all of that, I'm hearing the blessing of God providing, keeping safe. God providing a car, God having, you know, making sure insurance was there, just different things like that. And you know, for the Christian, that's what we have to do. We have to count our blessings and praise the Lord, but then we have to be careful, because he says in verse 11, beware, beware. Okay, you've prayed for a long time, or you had this deep need, and it was deep on your heart, and you were so burdened, you wept perhaps, and you fasted, and you begged God, and then God provides, and you have a time of rejoicing and praising and thanking God for all that he's done. But beware. Beware. Because there's a temptation. Someone said this once. In fact, I've heard a couple preachers say this. You can handle the battles. You can handle the burdens. But you're going to have a hard time with the blessings. I said, what? Bring on the blessings. Amen. Hallelujah. No, 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 no. The battles, you're ready for. The burdens, you're ready. You know that's coming. But those blessings, we get caught off guard where God had to say, beware. Oh, we're not the first ones. He had to warn the children of Israel. He said, you're going to eat and eat and eat. And you're going to be full. And he said, when you are full, you are going to have everything. And he said, your herds, your flocks, they'll multiply. And all of this is going to be in the good land that I've given you. But be careful. Beware. Because when God provides all of that, the temptation is that you'll forget God. Because you're so focused on whatever that blessing is. What a dangerous thing. You know, it's interesting. Children of Israel, they had the Passover feast to remember that God delivered them from Egypt. Passover feast, Passover feast, Passover feast. You know, over and over and over. What are we getting ready to celebrate? Thanksgiving. Now, I understand, you know, they've changed it to Turkey Day. And in honor of all the turkeys that are eating, I guess, and or the turkeys who are eating. I'm not sure which. But we're supposed to be thinking about thanks. Well, the average American isn't. You know, the average American is thinking about Detroit's football team. You know, the average American is, or Dallas's football team. You know, it seems like they're always playing. They're thinking about what they're going to do and maybe going hunting or whatever it might be. Children of Israel, God said, remember the Passover. In fact, do this feast. We'll call it the Feast of the Passover. And when we have this, we're going to remember. You're going to remember that I delivered you from Egypt. The Feast of Tabernacles was to remember how God got them through the wilderness. And God said, we need to have a feast, and I have ordained a feast for you so you don't forget. So you don't forget who delivered you. So you don't forget who parted the Red Sea. So you don't forget who gave you manna. So you don't forget who gave you water from the rock. So you don't forget who caused your clothes not to wax old upon you. You see, God said, I don't want you to forget me. God said, I know how you are. You will focus on the blessing and you'll forget the blessor. And we do. We do it. And if today, you know, you want to look at America and you want to think about a good illustration, the United States of America is maybe as good of an illustration as you can come up with of a people who focused on the blessing. You know, the beautiful natural resources of America and the wealth of America and the beauty of America and all that God has given us in blessing us with America, the freedom of America and the laws of America and all that we have in America, and we focus on all the blessing, but we've, over the years, we've forgotten about the blesser and the one who provided it for us. You see, number one, the problem brings us close. Number two, the provision brings us comfort. And boy, we love that comfort. But number three, the prosperity brings change. God said, beware. God said, look out. God said, I'm warning you. Because it happens to us. Prosperity brings change in our lives. And he said, beware. What happens? Well, we forget the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandment. Notice, it's not just forgetting God. We say, we don't want to do what you say. Not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, dwelt therein, when thy herds, thy flocks multiply, thy silver, thy gold is multiplied, all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. And now forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Prosperity brings change in our lives. We get so much focused on the blessing. It's just like children of Israel. We're free! We're free! We're no longer in Egypt. We're free! And they focused on freedom, and pretty soon they thought they were free from obeying God. So we have liberty, amen. But that doesn't give us the liberty from obeying our God. But that prosperity, it brings change. We get focused on the blessing, and we get our eyes off the one who provided. I think about my Christmases as a child, and my grandparents always came over for Christmas, and we would, literally, my sister and I would watch out the window. I mean, I remember every house we lived in watching out the window for Grandma and Grandpa to come at Christmas. And we were so excited about, when Grandma and Grandpa get here, boy, this is going to be so good. And sure enough, pretty soon we'd see their car coming down the road and coming way down the road there, and then turning in the addition, then turning in the drive. We were so excited. We'd run out and naturally grab all the presents and everything and bring them in. And we were so excited, you know, about Grandma and Grandpa coming, and we just couldn't wait for Grandma and Grandpa until all the gifts were unwrapped. And all of a sudden, it was as if Grandma and Grandpa weren't even there. You've done that, right? You understand. We all can identify with that, you know. And all of a sudden, we watch and we long for them. We can't wait. And then something took our focus off of them, and now we ignore them. That's why God said, beware, because we're prone to wander. That's how we are. And according to verse 11 here, it affects the way we obey God because we change. Where we're saying at one minute, because we're in the valley, we're saying, God, I'll do anything. God, if you'll provide, if you'll do this, if you'll answer this, I'll do anything. And then all of a sudden we have that answer. We have that blessing. We have that thing. And all of a sudden it's like, you want me to do what? No way. Because prosperity brings change. The money God provided, it'll change us. The thing God provided, it'll change us because it gets our attention. And our heart, according to verse 14, is lifted up. We're full now. We have the thing, the blessing, the answer. We're full, and therefore we forget. Come on, who, you know, mom is so popular when she's cooking. But when all the food is eaten and you're sitting there stuffed, mom's not as popular then. You know, we just kind of sit there. You know? Isn't that what the Bible says in Proverbs 27, though? Proverbs 27:7 says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. I mean, the full person, the full soul, he's full. Ugh, I don't want that honeycomb. Don't give me that. They're so full. I have enough. I don't need anything from you now. And I mean, that's pretty full if we reject the honeycomb. Well, how much more then are we going to reject the turnips? I mean, if we're so full that we're going to say no to the honeycomb, wow, we're really going to have trouble with that which is bitter. That's why the verse goes on and says, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. If you're hungry enough, even trials and difficulties are sweet. Because as I preached this morning, you're content with Him. But we're so full. Well, I don't need anything now, God. I'm full. I have all these blessings, and I'm just, and so, yeah, I don't need to obey. I don't need to listen now. I have all these things. And so even more, when some trial or difficulty comes, it's no wonder a person gets so bent out of shape. You see, the key to that, the verse, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. The key to that is we need to stay hungry. The key to that, you say, yeah, but I don't like the valley. I don't like the wilderness. I don't like having to, but that's the key, is just staying hungry. Hungry for God. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm afraid Christians today have become so full of the blessings, all the things that we have. When it comes to God giving us something, it's like, I don't need that. And so we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. Instead, we just kind of do our thing in the world. I want God to keep filling. I want God to keep blessing. I want God to keep going. So I got to stay hungry. Otherwise, we get full and we don't need anything. So maybe that answer to prayer, maybe that blessing, maybe it has satisfied you instead of Him satisfying you. And prosperity brings change. You look at folks and you think, good night. I mean, God just blessed them with this. God just did this. God just did that. And it's like all of a sudden they're away from God. And you think, wow. Or maybe someone here is like that. Prosperity brings change. The fourth thing that I see here, and this ties right in, is the promotion brings corruption. That promoting that thing, it brings corruption. What do you mean? Verse 14. We've already read it. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. All of a sudden, your mind is on the liberty in their case, the freedom in their case. You forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You forgot about the bondage. You forgot about all that was going on with that. You know, we get so far removed from our salvation story, we forget that we were ever even sinners. We start thinking, you know, I'm actually something. I really am something. Instead of being the sinner saved by God's grace, we get this idea that we're something. And these people, as it talks about here, verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Good night. But it's because we've just promoted. Look what I have. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Instead of look at Him. Look at Him. Verse 18 is very, very clear. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is he that gave you the manna in the wilderness. It is he that got water from the rock. It is he that did a miraculous thing with your clothes and with your shoes. It's he. It's he. But you see, promotion brings corruption because we just keep looking at the thing instead of the one who gave it. The answer to prayer, the blessing, whatever it is, we look at it. It reminds me of a preacher friend of mine years ago when I was in Bern, Indiana. And this guy was portly, large, chunky, fat. Phyllis is looking at me like she didn't understand. He was big. He was a big boy. And we got together every now and then. Our churches played softball against each other. Well, this guy, he got tired of being so heavy. And he told me, he said, you know, I'm praying about losing weight, and I'm going to try to lose weight. And he was all excited about it. And sure enough, he started losing weight. And he started lifting weights and working out. And working out, and working out. And it wasn't long, and I asked somebody, I said, by the way, you know, we had a preacher's meeting or something. I said, where's so-and-so? And they said, oh, he went to some weightlifting bodybuilding contest. I said, what? I said, well, he have one of his men in the church or something? That he went, no, he entered the contest. I said, what? And this guy had lost weight, and he had, by the way, while he was doing his bodybuilding, he was looking in mirrors. And he was oiling up. I couldn't believe it, honestly. First of all, I couldn't believe it because he was huge. But second of all, I couldn't believe it because what in the world has happened? Every time he looked in the mirror, and this is the way in my mind that I saw it, it had to happen. He was keeping his eye on what God had given him, but taking his eyes off of God. And it wasn't long, and he quit the church, and he went into bodybuilding as his career. Unbelievable. Dear Father, help me lose weight. Help me to have good health. Help me to be a good testimony. Whatever, however you want to word that. But all of a sudden, look what I did. Look what I did. Numbers 21, verse 5, real quick, we're just about done. Numbers 21 and verse 5, you know the story. Numbers 21 and verse 5, an amazing story. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people and much people of Israel died. You notice God sent the fiery serpents because of the griping. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, made it out of brass, a snake-like serpent, and he put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And you know the story, and we sing the story, look and live, my brother live, and the comparison in John chapter 3. But that's that brazen serpent on the pole. Boy, what a blessing that was for the people. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the families that actually looked? Now, I believe with all my heart there were some that said, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to do what he said. And they died. But I think of the families that would have looked and the families that would have stopped and gazed upon that. And they said, oh, God has spared us. And they lived. But look at 2 Kings 18. I can still remember the first time I read this verse. And I had to look back and look at it again and look back and look at it again. Because I just couldn't believe it. 2 Kings 18 and verse 4. And yet it's exactly what happens so many times. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Wait a minute, why would he break it in pieces? Well, look. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. and he called it Nehushtan, which means it's nothing. The children, what, they burn incense to the, yeah. Yeah, they held it up and they worshiped it. And they burn incense to it. As if that serpent of brass is what saved them from the fiery serpents. You know, what is it we have replaced God with that was a blessing to us? What was it, a car that God gave? Was it a job that God gave? I'm amazed how many times God gives somebody a job and all of a sudden it takes God's place. Was it our health? Was it physique? You know, what was it that we God gave and God provided and God blessed and you were so excited and yes, the problem brought you close to God and provision gave you comfort but then all of a sudden there was change because you got your eyes on the thing and you took your eyes off the one who gave you the thing. These people worshiped the thing and therefore they disobeyed God. So many are given money. It's why, you know, I'm convinced. I remember the Reader's Digest and the Publisher's Clearinghouse and putting all the little sticky things everywhere you're supposed to and doing all those kind of things. Oh God, please, oh God, provide, oh God, help us win $1 million. And I became convinced that the times I would say, God, you know what I would do. And it was almost like God said, and that's why you don't get it. You know, what is it we've corrupted our lives with that was such a blessing? Our freedom, being Americans. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And we butcher that verse by saying, that means we can do anything we want. What an insult to God Almighty. Health, a position, a job, a blessing, because we put our focus on the blessing. And that's idolatry, to promote anything or anyone, even if it's yourself, over God. And then the last thing, the process brings a curse. Verse 19, and it shall be if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. The temptation of thanksgiving. Boy, God is so good. And you can never outgive God. And God loves to give. And he's so good. But the temptation of thanksgiving is when we forget him because we're so focused on it. Let's not forget him. Amen. Let's not forget him. Oh, by the way, he can very easily bring the wilderness back. Yeah, he can very easily bring the problem back as well. Ask the children of Israel. Read it. But let's praise the Lord. Keep praising the Lord by staying hungry for the blessings of God.